Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talking Trading's Easter special. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have your company today. Just in time for Easter, we have an Easter globe of a show with the Glow Bunny herself, Amanda Gore. Amanda is an award-winning keynote speaker. In 2009, she was voted one of the USA's hottest 25 speakers and was inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame. She delivers an average of 60 presentations per year in the US and Australia. She's written 5 books, produced several DVDs, and has accumulated over 1 million views on her YouTube channel. In an interview where she didn't stutter, stumble, or hesitate for a moment, we spoke to the funny woman about the real measure of success in life, joy, and how to find yours so it doesn't get taken away from you. But first up, let's have a quick look at our Easter hamper special. Easter is in the air. Hot cross buns are in the bakers and eggs are in the shops. Louise Bedford and her friends have put together a special Easter hamper so you can lay your golden goose potential. Listen to an assortment of free resources from industry leaders in property, share trading, accounting, and business. The gift is valued at $397, but is yours for free. Rather than expanding your waistline this Easter, expand your financial mindset instead. To register, go to freegifthamper.com.au. That website again, freegifthamper.com.au. Funny woman, international speaker and author Amanda Gore. Hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Good morning, you lovely, bright, sparkly woman.
Amanda, what is your definition of joy?
Oh, tricky question. Not really. You know, the way I usually describe the difference between joy and happiness, because everybody thinks happiness is the same thing, is that happiness is a bit like running down a pitch black corridor. So you're running down terrified because it's pitch black. You can't even see your hand in front of your face and you're falling over things. And every time you do that, you get even more scared and you're desperately looking for a light switch. Frantic, and then suddenly you find the light switch and you switch it on. You go, oh, thank God, I'm happy. And you revel in the happiness because now you can see things and the fear's gone away. And what you don't know is that somebody's walked along behind you and they've just found the light switch and they just turned it off. And now you're plunged back into unhappiness again. So happiness is something that's really externally dependent and you're at the whim of it, really. But joy, if you stand inside the pitch black darkness and you just breathe, so you stay calm and you don't let the fear grip you, you'll start to notice that there's a kind of a glow. And you look around and you think, gee, where's that glow coming from? And as you stay calm, the glow becomes brighter and brighter until finally you realize, oh, look, that's coming from inside of me. And the glow gets brighter and it, in fact, illuminates the darkness around you, and that's joy. When you start to realize joy is an inside job, that you already have it, you just got to let it shine out. The fear is covering it and keeping it hidden from you. Okay. So that was a very long definition.
No, it's beautiful. So how can people find their inner joy?
Well, you know, I would like to say I was an authority on it, but the way I wrote the book called Joy is an Inside Job was I moved from Dallas to Vermont and I knew I had to write a book on joy. I've written a number of books. I haven't had any trouble writing books, but I could not write this book. I tried every strategy I knew and I just couldn't get it going. So we had a whole series of unusual things happen, like my mum died in Australia unexpectedly and we moved suddenly after that from Dallas to Vermont, which is, you know, like going from the sublime to the ridiculous, if you know.
Because I just want to jump in there and say that you have traveled all around the state speaking, haven't you?
I lived there for 8 years. And so, yes, I traveled all over the place, but I based myself in Dallas originally. And I really didn't, you know, want to go anywhere else because Dallas is very central, easy for a speaker who travels a lot. But through this amazing set of circumstances, we ended up in a farmhouse on 25 acres in the most beautiful writing retreat you can imagine in Vermont. So we spent 2 years living there. But about a week after I moved in, I woke up one day and I had a vision, a dream. I don't know what it was, but I just know. I know this is a financial program and you're probably used to lots of business topics, and this is going to sound quite esoteric and space cadetish, but I promise I'm not a space cadet. This doesn't happen to me every day. So I woke up and I'd had this thing where Mum had come to me and said she would put together a spiritual writing committee and all I had to do was sit and meditate and they would download the stuff. Now, I have to tell you, this doesn't happen to me very often, and I thought either I've gone completely insane or this is something very unusual and I should honour it. So I decided I would try it. Well, blow me down. The first day I sat down, I meditated, I went off and I wrote 35 pages on something that I had done no preparation for, no planning, no research. And at the end of about 6 weeks, I'd written a 350-page book with help, of course, outlining the steps you can take to find your joy. And it was a long answer to that question too. The very first one is gratitude. If you take nothing away else from this interview other than this, it can help change your life. I talk about putting on a set of gratitude glasses. And, you know, they're funny heart-shaped glasses. They're plastic. I sell them on the website because I can't find them anywhere else. I have to get them from China. But seriously, when you put your – you can make a circle between your index finger and your thumb on both hands. Put them over your eyes as you're listening. And unless you're in the car, don't do this. Really, they're your gratitude glasses. And if you start to look at everything that happens to you in your life and everything you have in your life with gratitude, you'll notice that you start to feel more joyful because it really is the stepping stone, the foundation stone for joy. Most of us are blessed beyond imagination. You know, if we compare ourselves with, oh, I know. Have you ever seen a YouTube clip called First World Problems?
No.
Oh, my gosh. If you haven't, anybody listening, immediately this interview is over, unless you're at work, in which case keep working. But if you're at home, go to YouTube and look up First World Problems and go to the one that's had about over 9 million hits. And it will suddenly put everything that you're complaining about into perspective. And we do. We complain about the most trivial, ridiculous things, and we focus on everything that's wrong in our lives. And everything that's wrong is usually about 10 to 20%. And we forget about the 80% that's fantastic or just good. You know, it's ridiculous what we're choosing to focus on.
2015, so, it's a new year. What are your top five tips of joy to start the new year off?
Well, the first one is to keep your gratitude glasses on all the time. The second is to focus on what's right in your life. The third is a big one. Make this your year of finding out how you feel about yourself because it's the most important thing in life. It transforms everything you do. And most of us don't realize that we've got core hidden fears. And the three core fears that underpin most people's take away from most people's joy and underpin how they feel about themselves are these. I know I'm digressing. I'll come back to the last two in a minute. So these core fears are one, I'm not worth loving or I'm not good enough. Two, I'm unsafe in some way. And three, a fear of death, abandonment or separation. So try to focus this year on those core beliefs because they're fears and beliefs. And if you can identify them because most of them are hidden and deal with them and realize that they're no longer true and they probably never were true, then your life will change and you become a much more joyful person because you actually are worth loving. And most people are safe unless, of course, you're in some abusive environment, in which case you need to safely get out of it. And we're never really separated. We just have a perception of that. Which brings me to the fourth thing for joy in 2015, which is to examine very carefully your thinking and your perceptions. Because, you know, everything really is neutral. The only meaning that's given to it is that which we ascribe to it. So it was like, I think Eleanor Roosevelt said, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So what are the stories that you're telling yourself about everything that happens to you? Because it is just a story. It's not the truth. It's a story based on your perceptions and based on your fears. And the fifth one is for you to connect to yourself and to some kind of higher, whatever you want to call it. I call it God, but not a religious God, a spiritual God. You can call it source, universe, your higher self, your inner God. I don't mind what you call it, but connect to it, because you're not a shag on a rock, you know. It's like where the most commonly used phrase is a bubble, a drop of water. You're in an ocean, but you're a drop of water. And without that drop of water, the ocean isn't whole. And you can be separate from the whole, but you're still a part of the whole. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So there are my five top tips for finding joy in 2015.
Amanda, you have a glow that is larger than most people's I've ever seen. How do you, what brings you joy?
Oh, good question, Carolyn. You know, just recently I have been doing the most amazing thing with my husband and two friends who are so good that they're our family, really. They're our core family. And between us, we'd had some issues, and one in particular, and we all banded together to help our friend. But as always happens when you go to help someone else, it helps you as much, if not more. It's a bit like forgiveness. You know, when you're forgiving someone else, you actually get more benefit out of it than anyone else. And so together we've been meeting every night, and we go through a series of questions. And the questions are, you may want to do this with your family because it's extremely powerful. It's, you know, what was your predominant feeling today? Because most of us go through a day and we're so busy doing everything else, we haven't even recognized that we've had a feeling. And to start to recognize how you're feeling and what caused you to feel that way is very powerful. And then the other questions that we ask lead us into an awareness of the patterns of behavior, because most of us are leading lives of habits and patterns ruled unconsciously by fear. And so highlighting some of the things that we do unconsciously every day has been very powerful and dramatically changed our relationships with each other and ourselves. So that's one of the things I do, but I also love the beach. It's a lot simpler. I just go to the beach and go for a swim.
Explain the bunny ears.
Ah, well, I've got a couple of sets of those. One is for Sparky, the baby kangaroo, who is in fact the energy giver. Have you ever woken up in the morning and you walk and you feel great, and you walk out and you encounter someone else, and at the end of 5 minutes you walk away slumped over thinking, oh, geez, I feel crook. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. Well, that's because the person you met is an energy sucker. And seriously, there are people out there who wake up in the morning and they don't realize they're doing it, but they go out and they go, oh, there's some energy, and they suck it out of every person they meet. And you've got to avoid them like the plague. And if you've got one at work, get rid of them. That is the single best way to improve productivity in a team. Get rid of the energy suckers, because they drain everybody. And so because when we communicate, people very rarely listen to the words. For example, Carolyn, when we're doing this interview, we have to bring in images and metaphors and stories for people, for them to be touched in some way emotionally, for them to remember it. Because if you just use words, it doesn't work. And so when I'm doing presentations, I use symbols, because the symbols are cemented in people's minds. So you can say 1,000 words with a picture, as they say, or a symbol. So the bunny ears are the symbol of the energy giver, for you to remind yourself to always be an energy giver and avoid the energy suckers.
Wow, I haven't heard that about symbols. That's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. When you think about it, you know, logos. What's a logo?
It's a symbol.
Yeah, and it's a, and all sorts of symbols are attached to all sorts of meanings, and I think that's probably why icons are in some ways so popular, and why pictures have taken off on Pinterest and Facebook and things like that, because it says so much more when you've got an image or you have a symbol of something. So remember that if you're in a workplace, it doesn't matter if you're in finances, because it's that you're dealing with people. No matter what happens, you're dealing with people, and people will respond to symbols.
In your book, Joy is an Inside Job, you've said that joy is the precursor to success. What do you mean by that?
Well, again, that comes back to how you feel about yourself. So again, let's use a metaphor. Have you ever had a hangover?
Once or twice?
Yes, probably only once. And those folks listening, if you remember how functional you are after a hangover, depending on the size of the hangover, it's probably not very. And that's because you're not feeling good. That's physically, of course, but also psychologically. You can't function at your peak. So when you're joyful, you're in a state. If I go back to the 12 chapters in the book, the 12 stepping stones to joy, the 12 secrets to joy, some of them are gratitude, compassion, reverence, hope, listening, laughter, cheerful enthusiasm, energy and vitality, equanimity, and I forget the last one. But, you know, if you listen to all of those, if you can master all of those, you're in a pretty much permanent state of joy. And your ability to have empathy with others, your resilience, your capacity to read other people and be appropriate with them and have compassion for them, your ability to forgive others and move on and resolve an issue. Everything in your life is affected by it. And the core measure for me of success is that you're joyful, really, and that you bring joy to others. Mm. I mean, there's no greater purpose, really, and that you raise joyful children. But I know this is a big aside, but almost everybody listening is likely to have children. And what we don't know, because this is new neuroscience, children up to the age of about 7 have particular brain waves that put them into almost a state of hypnosis. And anything that's said around them, anything that's discussed, goes in and automatically is embedded. So the core fears and beliefs that you have about yourself, no matter who it is, are most likely to be someone else's thought and not true. And the other thing is, up to the age of 7, you don't have the capacity to be rational. It's not like when mummy or daddy yells at you, you go, oh, poor mummy and daddy, they haven't slept for 3 months because I've had colic. She's just beside herself. Oh, he's hitting me only because he doesn't know what else to do. It's hardly likely that that's what they do, you know. They go away thinking, I am so not worth loving, you know, I'm a very bad person, blah, 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 blah. And that sticks with you for the rest of your life. So how you feel about yourself is critical, because once you eradicate all those fears, because that's the mission of the Joy Project, and it's usually a lifelong journey, once you eradicate those, then you're in a completely different state where you're not obsessed with yourself and defensive about everything. You can look at the world in a different way and have a mission to help others be the best they can be, and boom, there's your recipe for success.
One last question. What are zoots?
Well, funny you should ask that. Well, they're my favourite little things. And my mum and stepdad were married for about 20 years. And when my stepdad died, my mum was devastated. And she came to stay with me for about 6 weeks. And I knew that if we didn't do something, she was going to get sick, because she was stressed and angry and depressed. And I went to New Zealand and I met a guy called Paul Pearsall, who wrote a book called The Heart's Code. He's a cardiopsychoneuroimmunologist. I won't explain. But anyway, he's smart. And he taught us that when we send love to other people, not only do we boost our immune system, but we boost theirs. So it sounds cosmic, but it's actually true. So I got home and I said, Mom, you've just got to send love, because there had been some issues with one of my stepbrothers. And she looked at me, because she was used to me, and she said, what do you mean send love? And I said, I don't know, Mum, just send love. And we didn't talk about it anymore. Well, 2 weeks later, it was time for me to take her home, and I took her to the airport, and I got back home, and on my pillow was a note. And in this note, she was telling me how much she loved me, what a special daughter I was, And it was the sort of note, we're at the end of it, I'm sobbing, going, I'm so grateful. She's such a wonderful mum and I'm such a bitch because I was glad she left, you know, that sort of note. And anyway, at the very bottom of it, she had drawn a great big heart on one side and a great big heart on the other side and a whole lot of little hearts in between. And the little hearts in between were zoots. And that was my mum's way of sending me love. So I was saying, zoot, zoot, zoot. There were little hearts going from mine to yours. Teach your children.
So do you zoot people all the time now?
Well, I teach audiences to zoot. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, not every time, because sometimes I run out of time. But if I have more time, yeah. And I've had more people write to me to say that their relationships with their children, even teenagers, have changed because they started zooting their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's a form of connection. So it's just giving kids another symbolic way to say, I love you. And they can, like when you drop your teenager 14 blocks from their friends because they don't want to be embarrassed by you, when they turn around to look back to make sure you've gone, if you're really quick, you can have your hands at the window going zoot, zoot. And if you're lucky, they'll kind of walk away, roll their eyeballs and go, ooh, zoot back. But, you know, you're getting through to them.
Amanda, we're going to have to wrap it up there. Is there a free giveaway you would like to offer our listeners?
Oh, yes, there is actually. I've got a brand new ebook called The Recipe for Joy, and it's a series of beautiful images with quotes. So we've kind of combined the symbol with the words to help really shift people's neurology into a more joyful state.
Amanda, it was really fun talking to you this morning. Thank you very much for your time.
And you, thank you. Zoot, zoot.
Zoot, zoot. And that's all we have for you today, guys. We will be back on the airways once the Easter Bunny has well and truly been and gone on April 15th with Chris Tate with an update of the markets. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for joining us today. Have a wonderful Easter.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.